Hey there, boys and girls. Time for a little radio fishing report. And it's Fishing Frank in the chair here with Captain Carl in the chair across from me. And we're going to get started here and see what's up. Lots of weather and lots of weirdness out there, but we're going to find out how the fishing is. And let's get right to that. Go away, guitar. Okay. Morning, Carl.
How you doing?
Oh, peachy, ready to run face first into dandy any moment. You know? I guess you've been on the water quite a bit.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I'm back on the water full-time again after I got that new motor on, so I'm going strong at it every day again.
All right, so have you been anywhere up around the Peace River at all?
Yes, actually, yesterday afternoon I took a drive up to the bridges just because I had a report from one of my buddies that there was a bunch of tarpon up there.
How'd it go?
I didn't fish those tarpon. I just drove up there and looked at them. I didn't have the right bait for them. I didn't have any thread fins or ladyfish with me.
But there was tarpon up there.
Yes, there is a bunch of tarpon between the I-75 bridge and the 41 bridge right now.
Ah, gotcha.
What they're doing there, I'm not sure. Be honest with you, I hope that the tilapia run this year like they did here a couple years ago.
Yeah, I think we should be getting enough rain now to really start pushing some of those tilapia out of the rivers. And it's going to take that extra water to get them flushing down this way.
Yep. I mean, there was a lot of tarpon up there for no apparent reason. The only time I've ever seen that many tarpon up there is when the tilapia flushed out.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of tarpon between the two bridges yesterday.
Well, cool. So, something to look forward to, something to be hopeful about.
Yep. Oh, yeah. You don't drive all the way to Boca Grande to go fish for tarpon.
No, that's cool, because I don't even want to be a part of that mess out there.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been that bad lately. I mean, in Boca Grande, the fish, the tarpon, they're back in from offshore after this bad storm. They've been on the hill pretty good in the early morning, and they've also been out at the last bell markers, the bell marker buoys going out the pass. The only downfall with the tarpon that are out there by the bell marker buoys is the sharks are mixed in with them. There's some really big sharks out there right now, some really big hammerheads running around. We lost one yesterday to about a 13-foot hammerhead.
So, all right. Let's just jump right into that. So you're on a charter, you're out there looking for tarpon. Where were you?
Well, yesterday morning we first started on the hill just inside the pass in about 17 feet of water. The tarpon were really staged up there pretty good. They were nice and calm. They were just rolling, having a good time.
About what time was this?
That was from sun up till about 10 o'clock. I fished on the hill.
Cool.
We were using crabs all on split shots. We're pretty much putting them on the bottom. And we caught quite a few tarpon on the hill. About 10 o'clock, we noticed that the tide was going out, and we watched the Boca Grande turn into the harbor water. I mean, it literally turned black.
Right.
All the way up to the pass. Once that happened, those fish got very finicky. They weren't happy anymore. They weren't cooperating after that. They were really on the move pretty fast.
So you were working the incoming tide, and then when that tide switched, it brought all that brown fresh water from out of the harbor and pushed the fish back out towards the Gulf.
There were still fish on the hill. It's just they weren't.
They just didn't want to bite.
No, they were too sporadic. They were running all over the place. They weren't sitting still. So then I said this isn't going to work. So I drove out to the bell marker buoys where there should have been a lot clearer water because it's in the Gulf.
Right.
And I found a bunch of tarpon out there right by the second to last bell marker buoy. And those fish were sitting still. They were happy. They weren't moving all over the place. So we started fishing them.
The crabs?
Yep. Crabs on the bottom with like a number one or a number two split shot. That seems to be working the best lately. We also did catch two on thread fins out there at the bell marker buoys.
All right. Now, what size hooks are you using for the crabs?
I'm using a 7-aught owner hook, J hook.
Okay. The circle hook's hard to get through a crab. It is. It's just a pain in the butt trying to get that circle hook to go through the side of a crab.
It's too hard, you know, to bend that hook all the way through the crab and not crush the shell. I'm using 50-pound braid, 60-pound leader. I'm using, you know, 7.5 to 8 foot rods. The Akumas is what I'm using, the Shadow Stalkers. You know, a 15 to 30 or a 15 to 40 is what I'm using on my rod.
You using that Azor reel or whatever it is?
I'm using the Azor. I'm using the 6500 Azor, you know, with 50-pound braid on it. those rods they've surprised the heck out of me. They've got a lot of backbone to them.
All right, so now you're out there and you see all these tarpon. Are you kind of casting at the tarpon or up into the current, letting it drift down into them?
Well, that's the first thing I do. When I find a pot of tarpon, I first look at them, see what they're doing. If they're moving slow and they look like they're happy fish, I'm going to fish them. If they're real, like, moving in a straight line, moving pretty fast, majority of the time I'm going to go look for another pod.
Okay, but now let's say these are what you would call happy fish. They're just kind of hanging out, not really going anywhere. Do you throw right at the tarpon,
No.
or do you throw up into the current and try and let it drift into them?
Well, that's the next thing. After I figure out if they're happy or if they're not happy, I'll see which way they're moving, and I'll figure out which way the tide's going so I can have my crab, you know, floating into them instead of floating away from them. Next thing you know, I'll figure out which one is the lead fish. Because all those pods of tarpon, there's a lead fish in them that they're all going to follow that one fish. And once I figure out where that lead fish is going, I try to get my baits at 5 to 10 feet in front of that lead fish.
Okay.
If you could do that, if that lead fish swims through your crab, the rest of those tarpon in that pod are going to follow right through your bait. I try not to tell my people not to cast in the middle or the back of the pod, because by the time your crab gets down to their level, they're already past it.
Right. So you got to get in front of the fish.
Yes.
So when you see a fish, you want to throw 10 feet in front of it.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, what else has been going on out there for as far as tarpon? Now, we had that tropical storm go through, and everything's changing. I mean, everything's going crazy. A lot of mixed reports from last week when we did the show. Now, this week, are the fish back on the beaches at all?
Yes, they are. They actually are on the beaches. I've been doing a lot of fishing up towards Englewood on the beach. Yesterday in the morning, I did drive Boca Grande Beach, and there was quite a few pods on the beach. The only problem with the beach is it's a little murky right now. So it's kind of hard to see the fish. Most of the time, you know, the beach is very clear, so you can see the black shadow of the pods of tarpon.
Right.
And it's pretty hard to see, you know, the shadow of the tarpons in the water right now, so you're pretty much just going off of sight, unless you have, like, a side scanner or something like that.
Oh, man. The river is up to 11 feet. Yep. 11 feet. So that's a 9-foot wall of water coming down.
Yep.
We've got 3,680 cubic feet a second coming down the Peace River. That's a lot of fresh water at this time of year.
No, I mean,
that explains why those fish, when that tide turned out. So it's going to be, I'm going to say, if you're going to come up in the harbor, you're going to have to get there at, basically, you want to get there at low tide and wait for that water to come up in. So you're going to have to plan yourself. If you want to fish up in the harbor, be out there at low tide, waiting for that water to turn and then start coming in, and maybe start, like, by Cape Hayes, and then as the water comes in, work yourself up into the harbor.
There has been some fish hanging out at that reef out in front of Cape Hayes.
Cape Hayes Reef?
Yep.
So that would be a great place to start. If I was going to go out looking for tarpon this week, and I didn't want to go on the beach or out in the Gulf or in the passes, say start be at the Cape Hayes Reef at low tide, and now you're going to have to wait a while because that water's got to start coming in.
Yep.
And as soon as you see the color change in the water, that's when things are going to start to light up.
Yep. Threadfins have been working the best over there. I also did you see a big school of ladyfish right on front of Cape Hayes Point yesterday. So, I mean, that's another great bait to use out there for the tarpon, is those ladyfish. a lot of times this year, you know, this time of year, they're pretty hard to find because the ladyfish go in hiding when the tarpon show up.
Yeah, I would too. I mean, basically, your lunch,
yeah,
or breakfast or dinner. You know that yep. Those tarpon show up, they're gonna. You're talking about thread fins. Are you seeing much in the harbor? Are they yes. pretty much out in the Gulf?
Or? I mean, yesterday I actually put in at Ponce de Leon, and we ran all the way out to Boca Grande.
Okay.
As soon as I hit Mangrove Point, right there by Ponce de Leon, I was starting to see threadfin pods ready.
I'll be darned.
I'm just using, you know, number 12 sabiki with my sabiki rod. It's a lot easier using them sabiki rods than a regular rod. You don't get hooked everywhere. And
yeah, you can kind of get it up inside.
And you can keep reusing it.
Yeah, and it's ready to go. When yep. you're ready, it's ready.
Yep.
Rather than taking the sabiki out of the package, tying it on the rod, throwing it, and then just wadding it up, putting it in the garbage, because there's no way to reuse them once you've got them done.
I mean, me personally, I like to throw a sabiki rig at the thread fins better than throwing a cast net. Those thread fins, you know, they're not very hardy baits. They don't live very well. They die pretty easy. And, you know, throwing a net on top of them, you might damage them. You're going to take their scales off. You might weaken them. That's what I do. I use a sabiki rig when I'm targeting thread fins. But, I mean, the tarpon bite is back on after this storm. They're all back in from offshore, and they're hungry right now.
Yeah. Water temp throughout the Gulf is up to normal levels, about 84 and 86 degrees. It's right on normal for right now.
Yesterday I picked up 90 in the harbor.
Yeah, well, the harbor's going to be several degrees warmer, but at least the Gulf isn't overly warm yet.
Nope. I mean, it's flushing out, so, you know, the water's getting filtered. A lot of cool water's coming in on an incoming tide.
Yeah, so everything's looking pretty good right mm-hmm. now. The little bit of cloud cover, it makes... You don't really want to go fishing as much with this kind of cloudy weather, but it is helping keep the water temps yep. in somewhat reasonable level. Because once it starts hitting 90... That's when we get really low oxygen. That's when yep. everything can really start going wrong very, very quick. And you say you've seen 90 in the harbor a couple yes. of times. I can remember going out to the beach at Boca, and you think, oh, man, I'm going to jump in the water and cool off. It's like going in a freaking jacuzzi.
Yeah, it is.
You're in, you know, 5-6 feet of water, and you're thinking, oh, this could be cool. The water's beautiful. Okay, I want to jump in. You're like, whoa, that's hot.
Yep.
Yeah, it's one of the few times I could ever... think of it, because, you know, when I grew up up in the Midwest, and, you know, you jump in the water, it's cold, it's at least cool, but down here it can actually be a lot yes. warmer than the air temp, so
yep.
or at least the same as the air temp.
Yesterday when we were coming back in from Boca Grande, that bad storm rolled in and we couldn't get to the boat ramp, you know, or we'd have to drive through that storm. So we sat in the middle hole yesterday and waited for the storm to go around us. We threw two thread fins out and we just floated around. We ended up catching two cobia while we were sitting there in the middle hole.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, we were just literally killing time because we didn't want to drive through that bad storm.
Did you have bobbers or free line?
No, we free lined them, and the wind and the current, it was pushing us, so it was kind of almost like we were trolling those thread fins,
right,
without using the motor or the trolling motor.
Yeah.
We started on the north end of the hole and we pretty much floated all the way to like Alligator Creek Reef. We ended up catching two good cobia yesterday by doing it.
Isn't it amazing how you can avoid the storms just by sitting still
yep.
sometimes?
Sitting still and just let it watch where it goes, and, you know, you could go the opposite way. I mean, literally, if we didn't stop in that middle hole, we would have drove right straight through that storm.
And that was nasty.
Yeah, I mean, we sat in the middle hole, and we did not get one raindrop on us at all.
So how big were the cobia?
One was 33 on the dot, and then the other one was like 29.
Yeah, it's still a lot of fun.
They were great blasts. We did have one other good run. We didn't get to see what that was. Kind of broke us off. I'm pretty guessing it was like a black tip or a shark or something.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of those little small sharks running around over there.
So, all in all, have you been on the flats at all lately?
Yep. Inshore fishing's doing really good. The thing about right now is it is getting so hot out there. Our fish are starting to either look for deeper water, like our snook and redfish are either looking for deeper holes or they're looking for shade. Over by Pyro Harbor right now, there's a lot of trout out in the grass flats. A lot of good sized trout.
This is what happened last year. We talked about this on the last show, that last year in the wintertime when we should have gazillions of trout, they just weren't here. Yep. And then all of a sudden the water gets warm, everything changes, and the trout showed up.
Yep.
This is 2 years in a row of this weird trout phenomenon, and I have not a clue. I'm at a complete loss about what's going on with that.
Yep. I mean, it's weird because wintertime is, that's known when we're known for our trout fishing.
Right. I mean, and it never really happened. And last year was the same way.
Yep.
It didn't have, and then all of a sudden, now here it is June, and the trout should be leaving. And I'm hearing more and more stories
big
about
trout.
Big trout.
Yeah.
And nice size schools, big trout. Hard to, I mean, you get one that you can keep, and the rest of them are too big. They're over the slot.
Yep.
Because you only allow four.
One and over.
15 to 20 inches, and you get into some of these schools, and they're all 20, 22, 24s. Big fish, nice.
They're fun to catch, you know, because the bigger the trout, the more fun the fight they're gonna do.
What were you hooking them up on?
Well, we had a couple dozen shrimp with me. I always bring a couple dozen shrimp on the boat just to have with me. You never know. We were throwing a shrimp underneath a floating bobber on a Rockport Rattler, catching them, and then we ran out of shrimp, so then we started using gulp shrimp. And we also were using those little DOA cow paddle tails.
How were the DOA paddle tails?
Great. You just, right now you got to keep it above all the grass or you're going to be catching that grass. So we're using a jig head. But I mean, as soon as you throw it in the water, before it hits the water, start reeling and just keep it a nice, steady, slow reel. And we were catching a bunch of good trout. We actually got our bigger trout off the paddle tails.
Yeah. Yep. They make a good thump. And when the trout get that big, they're looking for a bigger presence.
Mm-hmm.
Usually we use curl tails on the trout because historically wintertime the trout are smaller in that, say, 14 to 16 inch range. And that paddle tail has a higher pitch tone, or the curl tail has a higher pitch tone. It doesn't create as big a presence in the water, but the paddle tail gives you more of that thumping, bigger presence. It's going to attract those bigger fish.
Yep. Especially, you know, with our bait situation, I mean, there's thread fins everywhere. The white bait has been really tough to find for some odd reason. But, I mean, a lot of our fish are, you know, it's that time of year where our white bait should be here. So a lot of our fish are really looking and wanting that white bait.
It's the time of year they should be blasting on it.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, you said there's a lot of thread fins in the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of greenback activity?
I found 100 pieces in Boca Grande yesterday at Devilfish.
So it's pretty tough on the...
Yep.
Now, have you tried the clear casting bubble with those thread fins for the snook, redfish?
Not this year. I use those in the wintertime when the water gets really low and
but
clear.
I was just thinking to give you a little extra distance, you know, using that smaller casting bubble and just fill it full of water.
Yeah.
Don't even use it as a bobber. Just fill it full of water and give you that weight in the air.
They're great. I love them, especially in the wintertime when we get clear, low water. I use them every day. I don't use the regular bobbers.
I'm hoping to get my ears fixed this week, and if this doctor does anything besides run a bunch of tests, maybe I can get back on the water. And one of the things I want to try and see if that'll enhance the fishability of a thread fin, because more and more we're turning to thread fins for bait.
Yep.
At this time of year, you know, you want to have a few shrimp with you, but the thread fins are going to catch more fish. Problem is, they're so light you can't cast them.
Yeah.
You know, they just don't have any weight to them. If we could put that water fillable bubble in there and get the distance out of them, so
you
get
a lot of distance
back
with them. They really cast when you fill them up with water.
And we got those little ones, and I'm thinking if you just put that on the leader, you know, just let it slide back and forth, the fish should swim away from it.
Yep.
Hopefully, anyway. I don't know.
We also have a lot of big black drum running around right now.
All right.
Up by the 75 bridge, the 41 bridge. In our canal systems in Punta Gorda, there's a lot of big black drum, too.
Austin was all excited catching those big drum the other day.
Oh, they're fun. They're a blast. Right now, inside the PGI canals, we also have a lot of big snook. Like, really big snook in our PGI canals.
Yeah.
The only thing I've been doing is I've been going out, sabiki, and those big thread fins. And I've been going in the canal systems. Every big boat that I find, I'm casting underneath the big boat.
They're looking for the shade.
Yep. The bigger boat, the deeper the water and more shade that there is. But every single big boat right now is holding a lot of big snook in the Punta Gorda canals.
Very cool. Have you been in Port Charlotte in the canals at all?
Only place I've been in Port Charlotte is over by Grassy Point. There's some juvenile tarpon hanging out over there. There's a few redfish hanging out at Grassy Point. The redfish have been doing really good out towards Bull Bay. You know, the out towards Bull Bay, it's a little bit cooler water. So, I mean, a lot of our fish that were up in the harbor, a lot of them are starting to push out to the little cooler water.
Right.
Bull Bay has been doing very good for redfish. Turtle Bay Bar, the big breeders are in right now. There's some big redfish on Turtle Bay Bar right now. What I've been doing to target them is throw big hand-sized pinfish. I've been cutting them up. Or ladyfish or mullet. Yesterday I came across Turtle Bay Bar and there was probably 1,000 mullet sitting there. So the next time I go to Turtle Bay Bar, I'm probably going to be throwing mullet chunks.
You know,
because the mullet are there, so the redfish are there. That's what they're primarily feeding on is mullet right now. So, I mean, that's one thing that I look for, like, any area I go fishing. I always pay attention to what kind of bait or, you know, what's in the water, what fish could be eating.
Well, it kind of goes along with if you're walking down the street and you smell somebody grilling a steak, does it make you want a hot dog?
No.
You know, so the closer you can get, if there's a lot of that bait in the area, trying to throw the similar food is, you know, just smart.
I mean, there's a lot of, you know, 6-7 inch mullet on Turtle Bay Bar right now. I mean, they're everywhere. I mean, I tried to throw a cast net on them yesterday. We got a couple. We cut them up, threw them out. We ended up catching two nice redfish.
Wow.
They weren't keepers. They were too big. But, I mean, they were fun. They were a blast.
Yeah, I can handle. I'd rather have the redfish oversized than undersized.
Oh, yeah. I mean, any day. Yeah,
absolutely.
There has been, you know, a lot of snook over by Burnt Store Bar, too, on those outer islands. There's been a bunch of snook over there. And there's been a few redfish running the flats already. It's a little early for them redfish, but, I mean, there has been some redfish showing up over there. You know, they usually go there every year.
Yeah, but that's usually September, October thing. And I don't know what's up. Yep. Last year we had a kind of a spring push of big redfish as well. And this year's kind of mirroring last year for as far as when the fish are showing up, even though it's completely different than last year. I mean, 11 feet of water in the Peace River right now, that's ridiculous in Arcadia. I mean, a couple more feet and there's going to be houses flooding up there.
I know, I mean, my buddy was up the river. He likes to go up the river and catch catfish. He was up there yesterday. He said there was a lot of places that he normally goes to that he couldn't get to because there was a lot of trees that fell over, you know, and they're just blocking the creeks that he goes into. And he said that river is up very, very high right now.
Oh, yeah, it's really rolling.
He said a lot of trees, you know, got knocked over and uprooted. So, I mean, a lot of stuff up there is going to be changing, too.
And because after Hurricane Charlie, they went through with chainsaws and machines and they cut all of the trees that were going out into the water. They chopped them all off and literally destroyed a lot of the fish habitat. I mean, it was a good thing and a bad thing. You know, it was nice because you could run a boat through there and you didn't have to worry about hitting, you know, logs and stumps and stuff like that. But on the other hand, all the places I was fishing up there were gone. And so now, you know, nature's kind of resetting the fish habitat. So get a few of those trees down. You know, it'd be a great place to go looking for fish next year. The big catfish, he's up there. He's looking for blue cats, butter cats, big freshwater cats, the really nice eating fish up there.
Yeah.
And people forget we got a lot of that down here.
I mean, he caught almost a 20-pound blue yesterday. I mean, it was a big, I mean, it was good eating. We actually ate it last night. It was good. He caught a lot of channel cats, too, yesterday.
You should have seen the first time I took Terry up into the real south, you know, like Tennessee and up there. And we stopped at Loretta Lynn's restaurant, and I forgot to tell him catfish with no head. And they brought the catfish out, you know, all cooked, but it still had the head and everything on it.
Oh.
This was not going to happen.
Nope.
Nope, that wasn't going to happen.
You know, like, my buddy, he uses a lot of bluegill up there for the bigger catfish. For the smaller, like the butter cats and everything like that, he uses shrimp or a hot dog.
Hot dog's been such good bait.
Yep.
I mean, it's greasy, oily. I love them. I mean, I
eat them every day.
Yeah, I mean, you know, being diabetic, I have to eat more meats and vegetables and stuff like that. You know, I can't eat the bread and cereals and all that. And I've discovered a new passion again for different ways of cooking hot dogs and stuff like that. And surprisingly low carbs for all the stuff that's in them. So
I eat them. I like them.
I do too. And I don't think anything on the planet doesn't eat a hot dog. I can't think of hardly anything that won't hit a hot dog.
I've seen videos of people catching redfish on hot dogs up in like Tampa.
Oh yeah. No. I mean, it's, you know, it just, why not?
Yep.
They're so good. So I was just having a conversation with a guy today. He wanted me to tell him how to go trolling, and I was pointing at Louis. He says, "Oh, I got that." I said, "Okay." And I just, you know, that's fine. You got it. Okay, good. Have fun. And he's like, "No. What do you mean?" I'm like, "Well, saying you have a Rapala is like saying you have a automobile."
Yeah.
I mean, but is it a pickup truck, a economy car, a big boat? You know, I mean, there's so many different things. And Rapala has literally hundreds of lures. And trying to explain to him that you want something big to create a lot of noise, dives deep, smaller body, like the X-Rap, the one that goes down 15 feet.
Yep.
Great fish teaser. Actually fish attracting. I do expect to catch fish with it, but not near as many. And then I'll put an 08 Rapala little one up above that to actually catch more fish on, or a Storm Twitch, something that I know everything from a skipjack to a king mackerel, mm-hmm. Spanish mackerel, bonitas, blackfin tuna, something that they'll all eat. But they don't do as well without the big lure.
Nope.
It makes a lot of noise. It brings a lot of fish up. It's a teaser. And I said, "Well, do you got any rattle traps?" He's like, "Well, what else you got?" I said, "You got rattle traps." I said, "Pull a rattle trap, for God's sakes. It brings everything.
Everything.
Everything. Everything goes after rattle traps. But even when I'm pulling it, I get more fish in my other lures. Even if I'm not hitting them on the rattle trap.
Drawing attention.
Yep, it's a teaser bait. And it's got hooks on it, so I can still catch fish with it. I hate teasers that don't have hooks. I don't know why, but to me, it's just like, why am I wasting my time with this?
It's like that with all the bait situation right now. I mean, if you don't want to go out and catch thread fins because your boat might not keep them alive very well, those Storm Twitch sticks have been working excellent. I mean, they look just like a thread fin or a greenback. And
I'm going to disagree with you on that. I think they're ridiculous looking. I think they're too simple. I think they don't really look like a thread fin or a greenback or a mullet, but they catch the hell out of fish.
They work.
I don't know. I think it's because it is so goofy simple. I think that it's just that kind of common fish.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like anything really. I mean, it looks good, but it's nothing special.
And you could troll them.
Troll them, cast them.
I troll them all the time, going in and out of canal systems. I'll throw one behind a boat. I mean, you got to idle anyways.
Might as well catch some fish.
Yeah, I mean, you'll catch jack, snook, trout.
I mean, I always pulled the 14 and 15 bombers, and it was just a staple for trolling.
Mm-hmm.
And I never thought that I would come up against something that would be inexpensive and work as good as just the old bombers did. And that Storm has just kicked everything's butt.
I mean, that pearl color, that's my favorite one, the pearl color.
Yeah.
It works amazing.
Yeah, the I've pearl caught, with the ghost back, great.
I've caught cobia, I've caught kingfish, I've caught, you know, snook, redfish, trout.
I don't leave the dock without at least two.
No, they stay. I keep a stock of them on my boat.
Because otherwise, you get out there and you're catching fish, and then you run out, or it's gone, and then you're not catching fish.
Yep. You might run out of bait, you know, and then you have to leave to go catch more bait or find more bait when you have some lures that work just as good.
And what was weird is I had a couple lure companies. They wanted me to buy the lines of lures. And I was out with the Storm catching fish, and I'd switch over, take one of their lures on, and, okay, I'd give it 10 minutes, 15 minutes, take that off, put the Storm on, go out, catch some more fish, then take that off, put in one of the other ones they want me to sell. And it's just hard to buy a line of lures that
can't compete.
Yeah, they don't compete. And it's $6.49. And it catches fish. I can't. Where else do you go with
just
it?
Just about. I mean, it catches just about anything. Catch a small tarpon. I mean,
that's what I put the guy on for going out in the Gulf trolling.
Yeah, for kings.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in what universe should this work? It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's literally the dumbest thing ever. It falls right in line with the Mirror Lure Little Johns.
Yep. It does. I mean,
another stupid lure that should not work and catches every fish in the world.
It does. I mean, I use them, the Little Johns, for redfish a lot.
Yeah.
But they
The gulp looks better. The gulp smells better. The gulp is every way around it. The gulp has the colors, the whatever. And yet, here's this little thing that looks like somebody kind of pinched it out.
Yeah. And it doesn't have a swimming pattern.
No.
It just darts wherever it darts.
And if it goes to the bottom, the tail wiggles a little bit.
Yeah.
What? Why?
Sometimes the most simplest things work.
And that's all it boils down to. Keep it simple, stupid. Yeah. You know, that's where it all comes down to. I don't know why. I'm glad it is. I'm glad we discovered this stuff, that it works and that it goes, even though we can't explain it. And I would love to agree with you and say, oh, the storm twitch looks just like a thread fin. It doesn't. It really doesn't. When you look at it, the thread fin's got a bigger belly, kind of big in the front, narrows back. Looks more like a 17 MR.
Yes.
It really does. Yeah. A 17 MR is a lot closer.
I love those, the 19s and 17s. They work great.
It's hard to imagine a better twitch bait. We've been clearing some spaces out because we've got new lines of lures. We got all the new Sabiles coming in. We've got a whole line of new Rapala lures coming in, all with single hooks on them. They've got a new Rapala Twitch, single hook front and back, and it's a lot like the 17 MR, and they'll be here sometime this month. We're getting them. We're one of a dozen stores in the United States that's going to have them pre-ICAST.
Wow.
And, well, partially because we helped design the whole thing. So, I mean, it was your input and Robert and everybody else, all of us, you know, and me translating everything and having meetings with Rapala to say, this is the future. This is where we need to go. And to their credit, they took the lures, tried to put single hooks on them, didn't work at all. Lousy, just wouldn't react. Had to rebuild the lures, make them so that they would actually work correctly with that single hook in the front. Replacing any lure, the back treble hook with a single hook is fine, as long as you leave the front treble hook in place. But you cannot remove the front treble hook on most lures.
I tell you what, I've experimented a little bit with those Storm Twitch sticks. I've taken a back hook off, and I put one of those little like Redfish Magic blades
right
on the back, and they work pretty good like that.
Really?
Yep. Yep. I've been using it, you know, in the canals for my tarpon, the juvenile tarpon. They've been doing really good on them.
Them with the front treble.
Yep.
I'll be damned.
Take off the back one and put one of them little gold blades on the back.
Yeah, put the Indiana blade on the back of it.
And it works very good.
Yeah, it gives you that little teaser. There was a lure came out years ago that had that on it. I can't remember the name of it anymore. It's what happens when you got radiation treatments in your brain and diabetes and, you know, multiple disorders, you know. So, anyway, kind of getting around a mixed report. Let's see. Have you been up Myakka Eljubin at all?
That's the only place I have not been.
It doesn't sound like you need to go there. I mean, it sounds like you have fish on the east side.
Yep.
How about the west side?
West side's got a lot of fish, a lot of really big snook down towards Cape Hayes Point. There's a lot of big snook.
They all seem to be coming from the beaches, moving up back up into the harbor with this fresh water. The spawn's over. They're all done with that. Bunch of big, hollow, hungry fish.
Yeah, I mean, yesterday I drove down to West Wall on the way back from Boca Grande. A majority of the fish that I did see were down towards Cape Hayes Point, but they were all heading up into the harbor.
Yeah, they're going to be, it's getting ready for that summertime, that fresh water's calling them home, and by August, September, the canals are going to be loaded up. It's surprising how many snook are already in the PGI canals.
Yes.
That's the part that there shouldn't be quite so many so soon.
And they're big. There's a lot bigger, a lot more bigger snook in the PGI canals.
I think some of them bigger fish just cut right across the harbor and didn't bother to, you know, go along the shorelines. I think they just cut right up the middle and said, heck with it, I'm going home.
I'm telling you, there's some really big snook in those canals right now. One of the main reasons why I haven't been over towards, like, the Myakka cutoff is because that's where I am in the wintertime.
Right.
You know, that mud in there, it holds and creates heat. So, like, right now we got 90-degree water out there in the harbor. I'm not going to go into the Myakka cutoff where it's probably going to be even hotter than 90 degrees.
Exactly.
That's the only reason why I haven't been over there. That's more of a winter thing.
Boy, I would love to be able to get a barge and dredge a cut back through the middle of that just to allow the water to cool off and get the water flow going through there. it would be a great mm-hmm. benefit to that, just to go through and take 20 feet and just, you know, redo it the way it was 50 years ago.
Because I tell you what, that trench that was going in there, it's filling in.
Yeah.
I mean, I've noticed it over the past couple of years. It's starting to get shallower, that trench going in. I mean,
it's just the basic erosion from all the land around it and the islands and everything. It all wants to fill in. And one of the things people don't understand is we only give nature this amount of room. Years ago, for eons, well, this would fill in, but a new one would form here. Well, there are no new ones forming.
No.
And it's not like it can change. No. And you look at places like Bogus Hole, there is a Spanish galleon 15 feet under the mud there, 20 feet under the mud. It was found by Mel Fisher and them, you know, the whole radio underground looking stuff. But at one point, that was big enough where two Spanish ships had to go in there because they looted one and left it there to sink.
Yep.
And there had to be a ship they left on. They didn't come and anchor it and stop right there. They came in with a ship, looted that one, and got out with another one. So at one point it was big enough, and now you can barely get a flats boat back there.
It's hard to get back there now.
And somewhere along the line, these environmentalists got to get their head out of their butt, and they get their head so far up their butt they cannot see through past the lunch they ate.
Yep.
And they need to realize we have to manage nature the way we manage our farms and everything else. Maintenance dredging, maintenance cleaning, keeping it up so that it actually stays viable. And allowing it to just erode and fill in, well, where do the fish go then?
They got to find new areas.
And there is no more new areas. You know, they won't allow us to dig more canals. And so many of the fish have gone into the man-made canals because the creeks have eroded in. Yep. They're thin. They're too shallow. They won't support life.
Yep. I mean, a lot of them are starting to grow in.
If they would just, you know, I would do it for cost. Allow me to, I'll lay it all out, you know, design the whole thing for them and just, you know.
I mean, I noticed like over the years, there's a few spots where I used to fish a lot when I was younger. That I can't, you know, I can't get in there no more because my boat won't fit down it. It's just, it's grown in too much.
Yeah, if they need to allow somebody with a brain, you know, I know my brain is not what it was, but I'm still smart enough to know how to landscape it so that the creeks would, we'd have 30% better fishing inside of a year and a half. Within 2 years, the fish stocks would increase almost double just to give them proper habitat and everything.
I mean, I've told a couple of my buddies this, you know, and they've looked at me like I was stupid. I've said, I mean, it wouldn't be a bad idea to ban all cast netting here for a couple of years.
And that's the truth.
I mean, ban mullet netting, ban, you know, throwing for bait.
Unfortunately, the only way we're ever going to rebuild the stocks of bait and everything else is to just stop the recreational and commercial netting inside of the co-regs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things that otherwise it's just never going to change. Mm. I will say I'm very proud of the fact that every year more and more people take the bait they need, not the bait they want. When they're done fishing, they release the bait mm-hmm. as healthy as possible. That is so critical in today's world too. You have to treat the bait fish the same way you would treat a snook, a trout, a redfish, a tarpon. If we give it the same considerations, we will have bait forever. Mm-hmm. But if we continue just to, for some reason, small fish don't count, only big fish. And I always equate it, I don't understand it. It's the only creature on the planet we do that with. If somebody was to go out and kill a puppy or a kitten, they'd be like, you know, people would hang them in the street. It would be a public, you know, execution. But if they kill small fish, nobody thinks anything about it. But they kill a big fish that's old, on its way out, near death, then it's a big tragedy. And I don't get that. We need to start taking care of our smaller fish.
Yep. I mean, I think it would help, you know, our fish population and all in general, you know, bring more of everything in here. You know, if we had more bait, if we had more mullet, it'd help us out a lot. But I don't really know if that'll ever happen.
It won't because it's... you know, I cast net bait, you cast net bait. We all do it for our charters. We do it for recreational fishing. And it's something we don't want to see come around. But on the other hand, eventually it might be necessary, and it might be a necessary evil just to put a stop to it for a year. Believe it or not, a year would do it, because it only takes a year, and most of the bait fish only live a year, year and a half. A lot of them, very few live longer than 2 years. So they do have a lifespan, but to get them to all breed and make enough babies, then get them all breed again, make enough babies, and enforce, strictly enforce the 3 mile rule for commercial net draft boats, because one purse seine takes as much as, you know, 50 boats gas netting.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would help everything here, but...
But we're probably going to be lynched for saying this.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm just saying, I mean, it would be nice because, I mean, like this time, a couple years ago, there was white bait everywhere. Yep. I mean, you could go to Mangrove Point, you could even go to Ponce de Leon and catch all the bait
and
you want.
Everybody is right. It is a matter of pollution. It's a matter of the water quality, the water clarity. But it's also a matter, we need to, somebody needs to give me a dredging permit so that I can go out and clean this harbor up, clean the creeks, get everything back to where it belongs. Then we've got our ditches along our roadways. They need to look more like King's Highway.
Mm-hmm.
King's Highway is an amazing feat of engineering. It's got beautiful filters on the water, all natural filters. It holds fish. It's wildlife friendly. And why we're not doing that in more places, I don't get it. It's the perfect answer, but the water runs off of the road with all the gas and everything in it, runs into the ditch, and from the ditch into some creek or canal, and then from there ends up in the harbor.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a bad pollution problem. We have a bad erosion problem. We have a bad, you know, too many people throwing cast net problems. We've got, there's a lot of things at stake in this. The simplest one for us is basically the cast net issue.
Yep. I mean, at the same time, like we have, yesterday I was out and there's literally thousands and millions of little greenbacks everywhere. Like the ones that if you throw your net, you're going to get it Christmas tree.
Right.
Well, I'm sitting there, you know, I'm looking, I'm on the trolling motor just looking at it all, trying to see if there's bigger bait. And I'm watching other boats just throw their nets on top of it and get completely Christmas tree.
Yeah, killing hundreds of
baits. All those
baits
are all automatically dead.
Yeah, and by Christmas trees, what happens is, if you've ever heard of a gill net, if you're throwing like a 3/8 inch mesh on these tiny bait fish, the head of the fish will go into the hole on the net, but the body can't, but the gills get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to kill the fish to get it out of it.
Yep.
And they're literally killing hundreds at a time for no reason. And you know what might be easier than banning the cast nets is to, you can only throw this size mesh at this time of year, that size mesh, like when tarpon season comes, nothing smaller than 5/8.
Yeah.
You know, half inch, 1 inch stretch, that's all you can use. You can't have a 3/8 or a quarter on your boat. And then that would allow the bait to grow to a proper size. And then somewhere around August, then allow the 3/8, no more half inch, you know, or a quarter inch.
Mm-hmm.
And just limiting the size of mesh to the different times of the year would allow fish to grow and become the best size.
Yeah, because, I mean, right now there's millions of those little baits out there. Well, their moms and dads of those little bait fish, they were here already.
Right.
And they're probably, everybody probably caught them all up already, or they might have migrated out already.
Little bit of both.
Yep, but I mean, here, you know, here in a couple months, we'll have big bait. Well, I mean, it'll be everywhere, but at the same time, you got these people that, oh, they see the little bait, so
they're not giving it time to grow up and make babies of their own.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, instead of doing a ban on the cast net, maybe what we need to do is do a size restriction.
Yep, well, that's a great idea.
You know, if we do, okay, yeah, you can only use this size mesh during part of the year, this size mesh during another part of the year. And I will talk to FWC about that, because that's probably the most viable answer.
Mm-hmm.
And that way everybody can, you can still catch your tarpon baits, you can catch this and you can catch this, but this size mesh is not allowed for these months.
Yep.
That might be the easiest way to avoid the wasting of bait.
Yeah, because I mean, those little baits, I mean, that's how, you know, if they grow up, they're going to have babies, and then, you know, if they grow up, they're going to have babies, they keep the population going. Well, at the same time, if you're going out there catching all these little ones, they don't have a time to grow up and to have more babies.
Same argument Texas had with shrimp, by the way.
Really?
Texas had a big issue because the fish weren't growing, the fish stocks were depleting, and what they found was they were dragging for shrimp, and taking too many of the smaller shrimp before they had a time to grow up and make babies once. If those shrimp just spawn one time, every two makes hundreds or thousands. Mm. And by what happens now is the state, and it's cost money for the state to do it. They go out and sample. And once the shrimp hit a certain size, they say, okay, now you can go shrimp, guys. And now Texas has a lot of shrimp, and the fish stocks are up better. Everything's up better. And it's kind of almost what we'd have to do here in Florida for as far as the shrimping goes, and shut the shrimping down when the shrimp are too small. And if you're, you know, that's one of the things. I mean, same thing with bait, shrimp of any kind of bait. Catching when they're too small before they've had a chance to spawn is the major problem. Mm-hmm. And we could fix that with a simple cast net mesh size. So, all right. So anyway, outside of that, we've solved the problems of the world. If only we could get the authority to do anything about it. But for as far as two guys talking in the back room of the bait shop in our glorious studios here in Charlotte Harbor, Fish and Frank here in the chair, Captain Carl over there. Anything else you want to tell people about fishing?
Just, you know, slow down right now. You know, the water's so hot, fish aren't very active. You know, they're a little sluggish. They're sitting in the shade, you know. That's why, like, if I'm doing inshore, especially if I'm targeting redfish and stuff, I'm using a lot of cut bait right now.
This is cut bait time. Once that water gets 85 and up, we switch to dead bait. People don't realize how there's not a perfect bait for the whole time of year.
No.
When the water's between 70 and 80 degrees, white bait, thread fins, perfect bait. When the water gets below 70, shrimp is the best bait to use. When the water's above 85, going to cut up bait fish is definitely the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, you got to look at it like this. Do you want to be out there running all over the place in the hot sun all day long?
Yeah.
You know, going 100 miles an hour, looking for this, looking for that. You're going to want to sit in the shade, relax. Well, the fish are the same way. They don't want to be sitting there running around all day long in this heat.
It's too hard to, you know, if it's real hot outside, you just don't feel like running down to some place to get a lunch. You would, you know, I'm going to have to call somebody. I'm going to sit in the AC and call somebody and say, bring it to me.
Exactly. Or, delivery.
Okay, you know, and it's the same thing with fish. There it is. It's easy to find, easy to eat. And the one thing dead stuff is smells. It has more odor. Yep. I mean, it's decaying meat. It's got a lot more pungent smell. So the fish can find it in that murkier water.
Yep, and it's a lot easier. Because, I mean, a lot of our fish, they do key on scent because of our water color.
Absolutely. Absolutely, without a doubt.
Scent and sound.
All right. Well, I guess that is going to about do it for this edition of Radio Fishing. I was looking on it. I think I was. This will be the 306th broadcast of Radio Fishing. Fishing Frank, Captain Carl here in the 306th broadcast.
Getting up there.
Yeah. You know, who would have ever thought when I said, I can do that? I could do that. You know, I already had the stuff from playing music, I had the microphones and all the rest of that stuff. I got a 1962 Hofner bass I just got today.
Really?
The guy thought it was a replica because Hofner brought out some replicas, but it's a real 1962 Hofner.
Ooh.
And I'm so looking forward to playing it. I just got it about an hour ago. And
I'm surprised, took it out of the thing, and surprised you're not up here playing right now.
Yeah, I know. I really want to get on that bass. It's the exact same bass Paul McCartney played.
Really?
Yeah, it's identical to the one Paul McCartney played. And everybody thinks he played a left-handed bass, but he didn't. What Paul McCartney actually did was bought the Hofner bass because it was about a third the price of a Fender, and it looked the same if it was upside down or right side up.
Wow.
So he actually bought a right-handed 1962 Hofner and restrung it left-handed, and so I now own the exact same year, same model
really
as Paul McCartney played. And it's sitting right back there on the counter. I'm waiting to go home so I can play it. This is killing me.
You might be playing it here before you go home.
Oh, I've already played it a little bit. Yeah. No, I took it out of the case. It's got the original case with it. It's all beat to snarly. But, you know, it's still, really excited about it. So anyway, hopefully coming to a tavern near you sometime, the Fish and Frank's
Fish
Dead
and Frank
Bait Band.
Radio.
Yeah. So anyway, boys and girls, thank you so much for listening. We'll catch you on the next Radio Fishing. Say goodbye, Carl.
Bye, everybody.